The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel of John. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of the signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, earlier this month, I took a word of the year quiz. And in this quiz, after answering a series of questions, the idea is that they would give you a word of the year, and that word is to guide you and to kind of help you be a focus for your year. So according to this quiz, my word of the year actually was all over many of our lessons this morning. And that word is delight. I like that word, delight. I want to live that word. I want to be captured by wonder and grace and beauty and joy. I want to be caught by humor and insight, and to delight in creation and creativity, to delight in relationships and in people. I want to be touched to the very heart and soul, to delight in those epiphanies of our God who loves us and is always with us, of our God who makes the ordinary extraordinary. Today we heard a story about Jesus. He was at a wedding, and with him was his mother and his disciples. But at the wedding, a problem arose. What was that problem? They ran out of wine. Exactly. There was no more wine. Horror of horrors. The host ran out of wine. Now, this really was a problem for many different reasons. Beyond being simply embarrassing, they didn't have clean, fresh water to drink like I offered the children. Just got out of the tap. They didn't have that. Wine was the ordinary, as prevalent as water drink. No doubt in that hot and dry climate, after all that dancing and partying, all those guests were thirsty. And hospitality was central to their culture. Running out of wine would actually bring great shame, not only upon the hosts, but their entire family. It would be like a curse upon the couple who is being married. And to make matters worse, it was actually the custom of that time that when guests came to weddings, they brought gifts, but these weren't wedding gifts like plates and silverware, things that we would bring to weddings. They were food items and drink items that were meant to be shared at this grand wedding banquet, because wedding banquets lasted for days and days and days and days. So not only might a lack of wine indicate a lack of resources or a lack of hospitality by the hosts. It also might indicate a lack of friends, a lack of community support, that somehow this community refused to join in this wedding celebration. So Jesus acts as a good and generous friend, and he turns 6 huge jugs of water into wine. How many of you want a friend like Jesus? Well, what does all this mean? And if we look at the gospel reading for today, you can go ahead and open your bulletins and take a peek at the gospel reading today, because it's filled with symbolism. There are many, many layers. The very first 4 words, on the third day, what does that make you think of? Yes, the resurrection, that on the third day, the resurrection of Christ happened on the third day after his crucifixion. The mother of Jesus was there. In the Gospel of John, it's interesting, Mary is never named. She's referred to only 2 in the Gospel of John, and she's referred both times as the mother of Jesus. The first time is this time, and the second and last time, anybody remember where that is? When Jesus is on the cross. Exactly. Jesus responds to his mother. He says, "My hour has not yet come." And his hour in the Gospel of John is the time that he spent on the cross. We're told that there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rite of purification. Now, 6 is the number of, a biblical number of incompleteness, of being not yet finished. The water jars that were used for the Jewish rite of purification were intended to cleanse people, either before they went into the temple, or, and it wasn't so much a physical cleansing as it was a spiritual cleansing. Or if they did something, or if something happened to them and they were labeled as being unclean, unfit to enter back into the community, they would have to use the water from these jars to purify themselves. But it's almost as if that those 6 jars of water are telling us that that water alone is incomplete. It's not enough to purify humanity. The wine itself can point us to God's forgiveness, the forgiveness that we receive each and every time we gather here, the wine in Holy Communion, the blood of Christ being offered for all. The context of this miracle is what? A wedding feast. And that image of a wedding feast is used throughout Scripture as a symbol of God's kingdom. The relationship of the bride and the bridegroom is used as a description of God's relationship with God's people. So all these symbols and the miracle of Jesus changing water into wine combine to create a sign. A sign that points us to God. So if this miracle is a sign that is pointing us to God, what does it tell us about who God is? What does this miracle that Jesus did tell us about God's character? What do you think? What does this reveal about God?
Loving.
God is loving and caring. What else? God only gives us the best. Always gives us the best. What else? God cares about the details of our lives and about our community. Exactly. Now, I believe everything that you all have just said, and probably a lot of the things that you didn't say out loud, I believe in that they're true. But there's a part of me that really struggles with this particular miracle of Jesus. You know, other miracles, Jesus is healing people who are sick. I struggle with this one. I struggle with this one not just because I don't understand it, because it wouldn't be a miracle if we understood it, right? And I like wine, so it's not that I have an issue with that, but I struggle because the truth is that we live in a world of great need. In a world where many have no clean, fresh water, let alone fine wine to drink. And I wonder, where is that abundance of God today? You know, we live in a world where desperate mothers tell their children who are hungry, we have no food. Why hasn't Christ's hour come then? In our world, there are many children who don't have safe shelter. Why doesn't God do something? I want to tug at Jesus' arm like Mary did and say, they have no water. They have no food. They have no shelter. How do we reconcile a story like this where God is truly concerned about the very details, wanting to give the very best, loving and caring, with the fact that we live in a world where there is tremendous human need? Well, I don't know the answer to that question. That's called theodicy. Theologians write volumes of books trying to reconcile a good and loving God with the problem of suffering. But what I do know is that if this miracle is a sign that points us to God, then you are all right. Because in the face of suffering and need, we do have a generous and abundant God. A God who delights in the details, extravagantly. A God who cares about gracious hospitality, giving the best. A God who blesses celebrations of love and friendship, however big or small they might be. We have a God who delights in welcome and goodness, who delights when we are generous and when we share, when we open our lives and our hearts to truly welcome one another. Because we are the body of Christ. We are called to be friends and to love our neighbors as Christ did. You know, there is a lot that we don't understand in our world today. But what Jesus wants us to figure out is how to love our neighbor. What does it mean for us to love our neighbors, especially those neighbors who are in need? God wants us to struggle with what it means, and even more than struggle with it, to just live it out. What it means to be the heart and hands and feet of Christ in our world today. Because God uses us, each and every one of us. God uses us as signs to point others to God. In baptism, you were given a candle. And that candle was lit, and the words, "Let your light so shine before others that they might see your good works and give glory to God in heaven," were spoken to you. As we live our lives trying our best to be faithful, some will see these signs and they'll believe, like the disciples did. Some will see them and might even appreciate them, but they won't get it. Kind of like the wine steward in our story. Some won't see it at all. Like the wedding guests. They didn't know what happened. None of that matters, really. None of that matters. We are told to let our light shine. Let our light, let your light, let our light, let my light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your God in heaven. We are simply called to be signs of God's love. So today, as when you leave this place and go about your week, don't be so distracted that you miss the signs of what God is doing in our world. What God is doing in your world, in your life. Don't be so distracted that you miss seeing how God is using you as a sign of God's love in this hurting world. Keep your hearts open to God's generous goodness. Keep your heart open, your spirit open to God's constant compassion. Keep your eyes open to delight in God's presence. And let the light of Christ's love shine. Amen.